chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Andrew McKay, it's Ben Scola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman from Florida's Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Nothing happened over the weekend. You want to just talk to me next week?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
All right, cool. See ya.
I got a leaky toilet right now, so.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that. Okay, so obviously the only news in the universe right now is that we snatched Nicolas Maduro out of his bed with his wife in the middle of the night, and then had a long conversation about oil and oil rights and who's running Venezuela, and you know whether we're going to get involved in another land war anywhere, let alone in South America and so forth. Let's start with this. When you first heard the news, what was your first reaction?
Well, I think first reaction was, it's not like Nicolas Maduro didn't know this was coming. He was given a number of options and solutions to be cooperative, to work with the United States government. Hell, we parked an aircraft carrier off the coast of his country. So if you didn't think something was going to happen, you were living under a rock.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know what to expect, and so this was a surprise to me. But yeah, especially if you know what they've been saying about they've been negotiating with him and trying to get him to surrender all this time, that yeah, it can't have been any real surprise to him. Okay, so let's kind of break the pieces apart. The snatch and grab, I assume as far as you're concerned, that was perfectly legal and an amazing demonstration of American military capability.
Yeah, he was indicted and they went in and there was FBI and Department of Justice officials, embedded in these teams that went in. Our good friends in the military were just, a hell of a security transportation force to allow the arrest to take place.
Then second level is the oil, the possibility of, through threat primarily, I think at this point, of subsequent action, the Trump administration says American oil companies are going to have the ability to get back in there, recoup some of their $10 billion judgment, their losses of oil rights and so forth, and we're going to rebuild Venezuelan oil with American companies. What do you think about that?
So where the Maduro regime went and commandeered and took over those assets, there is going to be some of those assets, in my opinion, that should be returning back to their rightful owners. So, again, I'm not looking at the balance sheets to know how those assets were divvied up or under ownership at what time of their existence. But, look, if Trump is going to be in the process of screwing up some theft that's taken place, great. Let's move forward and continue to right these injustices.
The big open question right now about the government of Venezuela, President Trump keeps saying that we're running it. Rubio has said my interpretation of Rubio's comments is that we're going to be influencing the government. And if they don't do the things that we're saying to do, then, hey, we have all their alternatives. Meanwhile, we're holding the oil blockade. Meanwhile, we're going to keep taking out drug boats if they keep coming. We're going to keep all of that stuff up. Are you concerned about what sounds like a lack of a plan? Or do you think the plan is scare them once real good and then hope that the next, the younger kid saw what we did to the older kid kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I think, there's been some dialogues with the new vice president who has now assumed the role of president or interim president, however they want to call her. I think there's going to be some, dialogues that are taking place. They'll size up how that stuff goes. But if you still have indications of business as usual taking place, I think there'll be more of an intervention of the U.S. administration in a role there. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. It's obvious that you were condoning and supporting and facilitating, narco-terrorism and bringing, illegal drugs into the United States. And you want to continue to facilitate it, enough's enough. Hopefully, she sees this as an opportunity to clean up her country. But, we'll see. I think it's a little bit of a stretch where you will have this president removed and the opposition leader will be then installed in office. There'll be an effort to want to have as much of a clean, normal election as possible, but they haven't had one in, 20 years.
Right. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I find myself pretty optimistic about what could happen if the people are allowed to vote,
yeah,
and you have an election, and then you have, you know, the other party wins, and then we can kind of be a little bit even more hands-off at that point. You know, maybe we see a kind of a renaissance in Venezuela, and what it took was just, you know, for other reasons, not because we disagree with the politics, but for other reasons, taking out basically an unelected dictator who was an narco-terrorist.
Yeah, but you're talking about a population that has been beaten down with fear,
yeah,
and oppressed for, you know, a generation. So, I mean, it's to think that this is going to turn into a normal, you know, living, breathing country overnight, you know, they're pretty shell-shocked as it's going to hit by a hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, nation hoping is not nation building, and even nation building hasn't been all that successful, unfortunately, because as we often find out, the population is going to decide. And, you know, is the population capable of self-governance, or are they going to reestablish the Taliban? I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of the possibility prospect of American larger involvement, I am assuming, but again, that's why I'm asking these questions. If we were actually going to be physically involved in Venezuela, which I do not think is a great idea, but if we decided to do that, at that point, you got to go to Congress. You got to go to the UN, right?
I mean, I would assume that's going to be the case. Tomorrow, we're actually supposed to be having a briefing from the president himself. So I'm sure we'll hear maybe a little bit more of a vision tomorrow in our briefing. But I mean, a lot has transpired over the last 24 hours.
Right.
And it's been interesting seeing the world community of who has come out supportive and who has come out aghast by what has taken place. So, I mean, you're forcing some true colors to start to be exposed, but mince no words. This guy was a bad dude. He was facilitating bad things. You know, I'm sure, you know, right now Cuba is really wondering, you know, where their relationship in the northern western hemisphere is going to be dependent on for supplies and goods. Same thing in Nicaragua.
Right.
You know, as you know, there's been a little bit of a hit of some reset buttons, and that's okay. You know what? We've had an administration for the last 4 years that has just totally allow our opponents to grow a larger foothold in the northern and western. China runs so many critical, you know, intermodal centers all over the Caribbean, and you know, our allies in the Caribbean have continued to express concerns with this. Where's the United States? Why are we allowing China to come and be a part of this part of the world? You know, shouldn't you be asserting yourself and helping us ensure that we're not, you know, in the grips of folks that we don't think they're our friends?
Yeah, I mean, please protect us. Please remember the Monroe Doctrine. You know, please exert your power and your influence and, you know, save us from these influences. So one of the things, to me, I don't think, you know, Trump has not really come out and said this an awful lot, but you can see the pieces of it lining up when he looks at the Panama Canal, which now has largely been, you know, China's out, right? So that's a China influence reversal. You see Venezuela and you see Cuba's influence, and I think it's very likely that we'll see. I don't, you tell me, do you think Cuba's going to collapse too? Because I would think so. I'm very optimistic about what this means for Cuba too.
I was. You know, talking to some Cuban members of Congress, and I said, you know, we're probably never going to have this much of an opportunity to right the wrongs of what the Castro regime has done over the generations there. You know, you've got families that basically their entire assets were seized by the government.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see some normalization of where those assets that it were stolen or reunited to the rightful heirs. But yeah, it will open up a can of worms, but you know, but you've got people there that have been oppressed, and some of them don't know any different because that's where they've lived their whole entire lives,
right,
under that type of dictatorship. But you know, there's, there's something to be said for us having a more of a control and understanding of this part of the world, as Marco Rubio said yesterday, and we've just allowed that to just get away from us.
Yeah, and I, you know, I actually spent the first segment of this hour kind of explaining to people what the Monroe Doctrine is and what Trump and Rubio have said about, you know, discouraging influence, about stabilizing nations so that you can avoid mass migrations and refugees, you know, sort of the whole picture of the, you know, foreign policy and economic policy for the Americas is something that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten about. But Canada benefits from this, and it even... You know, though I have been very, very cautious about how I think about the Greenland question, you know, as a sort of, you know, influence in the Americas, our national defense, you see what Trump is thinking about Greenland, right?
Yeah. Well, so here's you know, we think we touched on it a few shows ago. Right now, everything north of Alaska is being dominated by China.
Yeah.
China's got fleets of icebreakers that are just camping out there. You know, the Obama administration said, okay, no more exploration for fossils off the Arctic coast. And so, you know, now you've got basically a private industry that was trying to explore into it that has gone away. Well, you just opened the door and put out essentially milk and cookies for China to come in and just assume that role. So now we're kind of playing catch up, getting ourselves replaced in that market. But, you know, we've still got to undo a lot of it. Look, whether you explore or not, we just need to be cognizant of our borders and protect them, especially from those that, you know, want to take advantage of circumstances that a previous administration put us in.
Yeah, you know, one of the criticisms of this move in Venezuela has been, you know, that it's either a violation of the UN Charter or that it's a violation of the Law of Nations or that it's a precedent setter. You know, we can't look at Putin for being wrong when he went into Ukraine. We would not be able to look at China as being wrong for going into Taiwan after we've gone into Venezuela. My answer has been, so far, we haven't gone into Venezuela, but for 2.5 hours. And that was for a very specific, limited target. And, you know, if we were to go in, that would be different. But do you think this compromises any of our international credibility on rule of law type issues?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, like I said, there were other countries out there that felt the exact same way about Maduro. You know, I mean, international law, make whatever you make of it. I mean, it's you've got there as to me, sometimes just feel good language, but I mean, you've got others that have been sick and tired of what he has been doing to his people, how he has, you know, enriched himself through, you know, his criminal operations, and now you add insult to injury to start making it this network hub, you know, capital of drug distribution. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of the chemicals and drugs, you know, are allegedly, I mean, I'm assuming they are, they're talking about how they come out of China. So we're going to go into China and start blowing up these chemical plants, you know, maybe not, but, you know, we'll go shut down the U.S. border, but the stuff's still coming. So, you know what Trump's attitude is, you know, I'm not going to go fix problems, I'm just going to prevent problems. Then let me go take out the transportation infrastructure. So he starts taking out the boats that are bringing the drugs in, and it still doesn't seem like it gets their attention. The boats continue to come. So then, you know, let's go ahead and you know, cut the head off of the, you know, the district manager in Maduro, who is, you know, in this market, you know, running the boats and keeping the trains running all the time.
No, agreed. And, you know, even I think what makes this case particularly interesting, as opposed to had it been somebody else, is that, you know, Maduro depriving the Venezuelans of the proper results of the election, making it so they can't even vote for the person they would have wanted to vote for, the criminal behavior with the gangs and the drugs, and, you know, the taking and sending of oil illegitimately to embargoed nations. It's a collage of things that make him an easy and legal target that might not be applicable to other political leaders in other countries that we might be concerned about. And what I've been saying all morning is, until we do something else or more, or propose something else or more, so far we're in good ground. We're talking about things that make me uncomfortable, like the oil, okay, or like running the country. But we haven't done that yet. And if we're not doing that, then we don't need Congress's approval. At least I don't think so. But if we did go to war or actually started to be more interventionist, then we would, right?
You're going to see more. Look, was Congress somewhat caught off guard? You'd have to live under a rock now. This was something was going to happen.
Right.
You literally could not say, hey, we're going to go take Maduro, because we can't even have a closed conference meeting in Washington, D.C. without somebody live leaking it to the press.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're human beings, and some of these human beings that just can't contain themselves to want to gossip and share news to the press. So, I mean, yeah, so the administration could not take a chance of talking about, you know, arresting Maduro ahead of time. One thing else, Andrew, I want to point out that I think we are not praising enough is no loss of life, flawless military mission. Hell, all those men and women who pulled all this thing, they were all trained in Northwest Florida.
Yeah.
You know, and does it kind of like a stick in my eye that you got these, you know, crazy protesters in Pensacola this week that were, you know, adamant against, you know, I kind of feel like, you know what, you got your right to freedom of speech. That's all fine and well. You know, I hear you. But, you know, I'm just, on the flip side, I'm trying to make the glass half full. You know, you can protest. I know this. The best and brightest and most lethal weapons we have in the whole entire United States military come right here from Northwest Florida. And,
absolutely,
you know, it just shows you just, you know, just a bunch of, you know, human rock stars, you know.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't know this, I think, you personally don't know this, but I can tell you for a fact that the, like, 11 people or whatever who were protesting in Pensacola and Palafox, I recognize several of them as being members of the local Socialist Party, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And so literally it was the socialists out upset that we arrested the communists. So don't be too worried about how those people represent Northwest Florida. Jimmy Petronis.
Go ahead. Did you drink coffee with them? How do you know who they were?
Oh, they go and speak at city council and county commission meetings. So I know exactly who they are. In fact, one of them was actually wearing his shirt, to his credit. He was wearing his shirt, his red shirt, you know, for being a red.
I'm just trying to poke at you.
Well, also coffee. Jimmy Petronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, thank you for the time, sir. As always, we'll talk to you next week. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we missed you last week. Not too much, but we did miss you. So, Happy New Year.
Thanks so much.